This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Spoiler alert! What Did You Watch This Week is a candid discussion about recent movies and TV shows, and it may contain spoilers if you haven't watched them yet. Listen at your own risk.
That was very metal of you.
Thanks.
Johnny's recording the call. Dun, dun, dun.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode number 242, or is it 243? No, it's 242.
242.
242 of What Did You Watch?
242.
My name is Mike.
My name is John.
And we should probably not call this What Did You Watch This Week, but what all the great news did you read about this week?
Yeah, holy crap.
Because there's a lot.
So much. Like, yep. It's one of those where, like, every day I was like, hey, look, here's a story. And then the next day I'm like, look, here's an update to the story. And then, you know, Disney walks out on stage and they're like, bah, bah. And even today they're still adding new stuff to Disney. So, Jesus. So, yeah, the news will probably be the focus tonight.
Most likely, yes.
We'll still end on Mandalorian, though, because...
Oh, yeah, that'll be the last, yeah. You know, let's just kick things off with that already canceled series, Hellstrom, that we knew was going to be canceled, and we started talking about it at the beginning of its release back in October.
Yeah, as soon as we started watching it, we're like, oh, this is going down.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of ironic to me, like, all the episodes were launched on October 16th, but literally, like, the week we finished re-watching it, the last two episodes, it's canceled.
It's almost waiting for our podcast.
Yeah, it feels like, to me, like, I finished the two episodes, and then the next day, it was like, or the day after, or, yeah. No, I finished both episodes, and then literally the next day, hey, the show's been canceled.
Yep.
It's like, oh, they just, because I initially thought, like, oh, they just air the final episodes and it's canceled. Huh? Oh, wait, no, everything was released in October.
Yeah.
If they did do a second season of the show, I'm not sure I'd even watch it.
I don't think I would. They kind of blew their whole load and really, like, they came on strong in the beginning, got me interested, but it really, there was one thing. And I'll bet you'd agree with me on this. There was one thing that would have gotten me to watch in the second season. And that occurred in the last, like, 2 minutes of the first season. Mitch Pileggi.
Oh, yeah. Mitch Pileggi showing up as Papa.
Yeah. Mitch Pileggi, I definitely would have watched to see what his role in things was, because Mitch Pileggi is awesome.
Yep. Yeah, but, I'll pretty much watch him in anything myself, yeah.
Yep. But, yeah, he wasn't enough to save it.
No, but again, like we said, this was the final Marvel TV show from the quote-unquote original Marvel Universe. And, you know, ABC Signature Studios and Marvel Television, so you knew it was getting canceled. Like, you knew it was. They weren't going to renew this for a second season when they've canceled literally every other show.
Yep.
And they haven't brought back any of the other shows or talked about bringing back any of the other shows. Hellstrom's not going to be the one that fucking holds.
Right.
No.
And again, talking about timing, like, this was the final one that they canceled, and they announced that they were canceling it just days after dumping every other thing that they're bringing out.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, quite frankly, I don't even care about recapping it. Feel free.
No, I really don't either. Like, if people have been watching this, then they're going to have watched it. I don't care enough about it, and it's not moving forward that I really don't think we need to dedicate any more time to it.
Yeah, we have too much news to talk about.
Yeah.
Let's go to another show that we finished up, and...
There's a few of them.
Truth Seekers. Yeah, Truth Seekers. We watched the final two episodes of Truth Seekers, which I'm actually glad we decided to do that, because they were essentially like a two-part finale.
Yes.
In my opinion.
I agree.
You know?
And holy crap. Now, this one, I had the opposite reaction with Hellstrom. This one, I'm like, I really hope we get a second season, because that turned out really cool at the end.
Yes. Yes, it did. We start with the Hinkley Boy episode, episode 7, where we see Lionel as a child, which I think it's, sorry, Elton John as a child, whose name is Lionel Richie. Hilarious.
Do you think he was serious? Because, like, he never corrected them, and he never joked or anything. Like,
right.
Do you really think that that's it? He's Lionel Richie?
Yeah. Well, I don't think he's the Lionel Richie.
No.
That's his name, though. Yeah.
Yeah.
But basically, the house they lived in, he was haunted. He kept seeing, like, a woman on fire near the washing machine. And all these other ghostly things happened in the house, all these other spirits he would see. And then he got basically, like, the media circus hit around him, including Gus's wife. And he was constantly – they were constantly moving around the country to avoid attention.
I like how they left his sister behind at one point.
Well, and that's the thing, is while he's talking about the story, they keep seeing how, like, the doctors are pushing Ellen? No.
Oh, God, no. I can't think of it either.
Damn, I feel like a piece of shit.
I'll look it up.
I do. I feel like a very Helen. Yeah, Helen. They keep pushing Helen aside or closing the door on Helen or pushing her out of the photos. And when the family gets fed up and leaves, they drive away. And then Helen runs out of the house.
Yeah.
And it, you know, it's like, I'm beginning to understand why Helen ended up the way she did.
Yeah.
So they end up going to Lionel's childhood home. Gus takes him and Astrid there. He misleads them. He says they're going one place. He takes them there. You know, they go in the house. They try to confront what's going on. The people that live there are just like, oh, yeah, come on in. And then, like, the daughter recognizes them as being the truth seekers. Elton and Astrid go down the basement.
I like how they're already that famous.
Yes. And Astrid basically reveals to him, hey, guess what? I've been dead the last 23 years. And my spirit was trapped between two worlds. And you brought me back.
Mm-hmm.
And they complete the exorcism in the hospital. And then the girl, the woman that's on fire, the burning ghost that he keeps seeing, is Astrid's mom. And who says, yeah, Astrid's a living ghost. Yeah, Astrid's a living ghost. Elton is the conduit to the dead. He's the one that opened the door. He's the one that was allowed me to push her through all the way through. So Elton's taught that he can basically turn it off. We see Tony B.
He's a conduit.
Yeah, he's a conduit, yeah. While this is happening, we see Emily in the driveway. And these two run together, so I could be having them wrong. But we see Emily in the driveway talking to Gus. Basically telling Gus, hey, this is what you need to do. You need to... you know, trust certain people, don't trust other people. This is Tony B killed me. You need to stop him.
Yep.
Tony B is trying to shut down the 6G signal because it's blocking their passage in his mind. So he gets Alara to go up into the bell tower and hug like the transmitter wires. And then he chants out an electrical storm and basically gets it struck by lightning and kills her and sends her into the machine so she can start the numbers again.
Yep.
In the interim, Helen, who's doing a They Live makeup tutorial, is concerned over Richard because they're FaceTime each other to the point where she, the agoraphobic, actually leaves her house and goes to their house to check on him. And when he's not there, you know, she calls up Gus and everybody. And so they head over to pick her up so they can then head to this factory where Tony B is with his 200 followers that he's going to execute so he can go to immortality.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the last episode, it opens up with a flashback showing us what happened to Helen. Well, the last, Moon Goes in Front of the Sun. Eclipse.
Eclipse, yeah.
Yeah, Tony B was talking about their ascension to Eternus, and apparently Emily had fallen hook, line, and sink for him and was trying to find, you know, a passage for her and Gus. So she it disappoints me that she fell for it, to be honest, because, like, you know.
Right?
Yeah. And, yeah, he basically sacrifices her and slits her throat, you know, as a dry run to ensure he was right for the next eclipse. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then calls in guards just to, you know, cut her body up and dispose of her.
Yep.
So that's
too bad. I was kind of hoping she'd still be around, but
I was kind of hoping it wasn't that, you know.
Yeah.
What else happened in episode 8?
Episode 8 itself.
Yeah, that's how we're working on the final episode.
Yeah, I think that was it. Like you said, a lot of things were happening concurrently. You know, yeah. Elton learning about, you know, Emily's mom or Astrid's mom down in the basement while Gus is talking to his ex-wife or dead ex-wife. Yeah. You know, there were a lot of things that were. Now, was it episode 8 or episode 9 where.
No. Episode 7 was that happened. Episode 8's the final episode.
Oh, okay. Well, remember we had. What was his name? See, I should have this pulled up here. Hold on. Truth Seekers.
Simon Pegg's character?
Yes.
Well, that was mostly episode 8.
Yeah.
Where he was trying to stop Tony B and launch 8G in the process.
Yeah.
He's trying to find out why the 6G is down.
And like, we've suspected him all along, and all of a sudden, out of the blue, we're given like everything on this guy. Well, we're given every reason to believe that we were right, that there's something more to him than just being a stupid middle manager. Because, yeah. Like, he goes out there to because he believes that they've triangulated the point where they're blocking the signal and where they're going to be trying to do the ascension. And he gets out there and there's a blue rose. And he's like, damn it, they caught me. So he goes and calls Gus and he's like, basically tells Gus, you can't do that. You got to stop them. No matter what, you got to stop them.
Yep.
And then what's her name there? I'm trying to remember because there were so many of them.
Alara?
Was it Alara?
No, Alara's the girl that's inside the machine.
Wendy?
Oh, I know who you're talking about. JoJo 74.
Yeah, JoJo 74. There you go. So JoJo 74 calls at the same time, and she's like, you need to stay away from there. So yep. Gus is being told by Dave, go there and stop this. And JoJo's yep. telling him, no, don't go near there. It's terrible. You don't want to be there. Yep. And Dave's basically like, who are you going to believe? You're going to believe some conspiracy theorist or you're going to believe your boss?
Right. And
so he basically tells them both, okay, I'll do what you say.
Yeah, but he's placating JoJo, but he's going to do what his boss says.
And I'm kind of glad that he did because they really needed to go in there and stop what was going on.
Yeah, so they head there. Helen puts makeup on them to make it look like nanobots, that they have nanobots so they can get in. Elton uses his conduit ability to put Astrid into the machine so Astrid can fight Alara, and stop to get her to stop the numbers. And basically. Dave then shuts down the nanobots using the 8G network. At the same time, Tony B goes ahead and slits his own throat for ascension, or Tony B or whatever, but it doesn't matter. Slits his own throat so he can ascend, but then all the nanobots stop and none of their heads explode, so he just dies, which is perfect, really.
Yep.
Like suicide. Well, that looks like it was a suicide, essentially.
Yeah, because, I mean, technically it was.
Yeah.
He cut his own throat. Like, everything about it is suicide, yeah.
So that worked out well, at least. You know?
Yep.
I don't know. And then, of course, the way the episode ends is pretty damn amazing, quite frankly.
And, like I said, this is what really got me to... I loved the fight between Astrid and Alara inside the machine.
Yep.
It was one of the coolest fights that you saw absolutely nothing of. You're just watching the little lights blink back and forth and they're yelling at each other. And
yeah, I thought that was pretty awesome.
Again, you know, they can do a lot with narration or, you know, dialogue that you don't need visuals for. You could picture what was going on in there. Two ghost ladies just bitch slapping the hell out of each other.
Yep. So then at the end, basically, you know, they stop Tony B and Gus ends up with his, gets his dad back. Astrid is gone. Elton or Lionel, whatever you want to call him, can't seem to bring her back from being in the machine. She's not responding to him. Him and Helen and Richard and Gus, they take off. They go back home, if you will. We cut over to Dave, who's talking on the phone to JoJo now. And basically we find out like they kind of had like a running bet against each other or with each other.
Yep.
And, you know, he talks about, you know, Tone B was a mistake, and Dave's like, yeah, I get it. And he talks about his precious Astrid had to cross over, and man, well, I don't want to be her right now. And
well, that's the thing is, as he's talking to her on the phone, she shows up in the room and she's asking him, she's like, what are you wearing this time? He's like, I'm a human male. And she's like, what's that on your head? And he's like, what? You don't like it? And she's like, no, it doesn't look natural at all.
And you see like a reflection. He's an alien.
Yep.
Yep. And then there's some sort of like picture on the wall behind Dave's desk when they leave, and it starts to like move around, and it ends up being like Astrid's face, or, you know, it looks like her face, and she says hello, and that's the end of the episode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because like you said, he specifically said, yeah, I wouldn't want to be her right now.
Exactly.
So that leads you to believe that maybe she's an alien as well, but didn't realize it, or something else. Like, I want to know more.
Yeah, I do. I enjoyed the hell out of the episode. I liked it a lot, and I hope they come back for a second season.
I really do, too.
We haven't heard anything yet, but I hope it comes back.
Yeah, I would really like to have more closure on this. Find out where the story goes, how deep the rabbit hole goes, I guess. Because remember, we were saying in the beginning that like it was cool, but there didn't seem to be enough. Like, what was going on? It didn't even start off as like a ghost hunting show. It was just so like British.
That was very British, yes.
And then it picked right up.
I want to say, I looked up Anya Taylor-Joy.
Anya Taylor-Joy, yeah.
Plays Beth Harmon on The Queen's Gambit.
Yes.
Because we finished The Queen's Gambit as well, episode 7. And I wanted to say, what else have I seen her in?
Split, Thoroughbreds,
New Mutants. I did not recognize her from The New Mutants.
Oh, you didn't recognize her as Magic?
No, I didn't. She had blonde hair and a Russian accent.
Mm-hmm.
So I did not recognize her at all. So I was very surprised. So.
It's that face. Like, there's something about her face. It almost looks like a porcelain doll's face.
Sure.
Between those giant eyes and that little nose. Like, there's just something that's so distinctive. Like, I can pick her out in anything. Like, you know, she was the final girl in Split, and then in Glass. And she was in Thoroughbreds. And it's one of those, she's been in a bunch of things, but yeah. Beth Harmon.
So episode 7.
Boy, you know, did this end the way you thought it would?
kinda, yes, but no. You know, Jolene basically is like, hey, Beth, Mr. Scheibel died. They go to a funeral. They go back to the orphanage. She goes downstairs and she sees like all the news clippings on his wall from Mr. Scheibel's, you know, on the walls from him following her career, which was like, that had to be awesome for her.
Yeah.
And then there's the picture of the two that were taken, that was taken together. He has hanging on the wall, and she took that picture. So that's awesome for her to have that picture.
Absolutely.
And she then we cut to the Christian Crusade who's funding her, and they want her to endorse anti-communism and, you know, Christians and all this other stuff, but she decides that she doesn't want to do that.
Yeah.
So she gives them back their money, which good for her.
Yeah.
Of course, Benny's all pissed because he's like, how could you do that? And then she's like, I don't know, you want to help me? And he's like, no, I can't. And she's like, why not? Would you gamble it away? None of your business. Yeah. He's basically butthurt because he's like, you didn't want to come be with me. So you wanted to go live your own life in your own town where you grew up and where you like to be and not my shitty basement apartment in New York.
Yeah. She essentially, like, when she gave them back the money, she was doing it under the idea that, oh, I can get money anywhere. I'll be all set. And then Benny basically shot that down. He's like, no, you need a lot of money to do this. She's like, well, you can give it to me. No, I can't. Oh, yeah. Shit. Now what am I going to do? Like,
she calls the State Department and they're like, yeah, no, we can't give you that kind of money. However, we will send someone along with you to protect you.
Right.
So that was kind of interesting. But Jolene basically is like, I'll give you the money. And she's like, no, Jolene, you can't do that. And Jolene's like, yeah, I can. You're my family. Like, we're family. And that's what family does. You yep. know, I followed you. I bought the magazines with your pictures on them. You know, I paid attention to what you were doing. I wanted to see you do this. That was kind of cool.
Yeah.
She goes to Russia. The CIA agent, I think, is hilarious. Because when it starts out, he's just like, whatever. And then you see her popularity rise. I just loved how they showed, like, she'd win a match. She comes outside. There's a couple of people out there that want an autograph. She wins a match. She comes outside. There's more. Every match she wins, the crowd outside is bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger.
Yeah.
And the CIA agent is getting more and more involved and more excited in the proceedings and everything. And I think my favorite is when they adjourn for the day, not the final match, but the earlier adjournment. Mm-hmm. And they go to leave and he's like, what's happened? What are we doing? And she's like, well, we adjourned. What does that mean? It means we are done for the day. Well, when do we finish? We will finish tomorrow. So what happens next? Well, we're going to go get some rest. I just kind of like how excited and wrapped up he got in it.
Yep. I like how the crowd, too, just to add to that, like, it started off with, like, a number of people outside, and there'd be, like, a little boy who would come running out and tell them what move was just made. And then, you know, another one would come running out. And then eventually, as we whittled down, they were actually listening in on a radio, and they had some, you know, somebody out on the street doing the same thing that they were doing inside there with the giant board and the pieces. And
I liked how you had the British commentator fella who was basically telling us what was going on. He acted as the narrator. They had a narrator to tell us what was happening without the actors and actresses telling us what was happening, but it done so in a way which we could follow along and understand what was happening. The writing was brilliant with this. The acting was outstanding for this. And I can't get over how sucked into a show about chess that not just you and I got, but like a lot of people did.
Yes. Yes, they did.
Because I played chess a few times when I was a kid. I will definitely not say I have any knowledge about chess, but I don't know. I just thought it was pretty awesome. When she plays the old guy, the one they said that was a grand champion before she was even born.
Yep.
You know, and he beats her. And he is, she beats him and he's just like, he's astounded by it. And he's just so humble. And that's the other thing. Like, we didn't see egos.
Right.
We saw egos, but we didn't see egos because they respected skill.
Yeah.
And he was like, you may be the greatest player I've ever played against. And she kind of blushes and he's like, oh no, you'll get used to that compliment. So I thought that was awesome. You know,
absolutely.
You can see the stress is starting to get to her, and she's going to leave. And Town shows up.
Mm-hmm.
Because I loved it when the CIA was like, look, you have to talk to the media. She's like, I'd rather not. And he's like, no, you have to say something to them. Like, you just can't keep ignoring them. He's now acting like a PR guy for her. And he's not even telling her to say, like, talk about how great it is to be an American, blah, blah. He's like, no, you have to say something to them because you've ignored them the whole time.
Right.
And he puts over Mr. Scheibel. I thought that was phenomenal.
Yeah.
He taught me to play chess. He was a great man. He passed away recently. I loved that.
And then she was like, great. And you'll be sure to print that, right? And you're like, absolutely. She's like, good. See ya.
Town shows up and basically helps her, like, you know, kind of calms her down. And then the next morning they get a phone call from Benny and the whole team, you know, Harry and Mike and Max and Wexler and everyone's there.
Yep.
Which I thought was great. They help her, you know, analyze the game because they're getting live feeds of the game in New York through the New York Post Times or whatever it is. And I just thought that was fantastic to help her with her game. And yeah, so I love that
each of them had a different, like, okay, I've been studying. If he does this, then yes, this is what you're going to want to do, blah, 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 blah. And then another one would be like, okay, now I think if he does this, then blah, 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 blah.
Yeah. I also liked how she poured her pills out.
Yep.
And then she talked about trying to get more, you know, but she couldn't. And then at the end, when she's playing Borgov and he offers her a draw and she says no.
Yeah.
And then, you know, he does a move that she wasn't expecting or hadn't played for or whatever. But you see the moment where she looks up and she can see the game like she usually would when she was on the pills.
Yep.
The tranquilizers. I thought that was an amazing moment, like great, like moment in television or whatever, as far as just like awesome moment. And then I like how everyone else kind of looks up, like, what is she looking at?
Right. Even Borgov is like, what?
And of course she wins.
Yep.
And I just like, you know, they're heading home and the CIA guy's like, all right, the president wants you to see, you know, we're going to take you to the White House for a photo op with the president and da, 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 da. Yeah, we're going to do this. Like, you know, I'm going to walk.
Beating his ass.
Yeah, that's right. Beating his ass. I'm trying to, who was president then? 67. Had to be Johnson.
Sure. Sounds good.
I think so. I like how Beth, she's like, you know what? I'm going to go for a walk. And she heads to the park where all these old guys are playing chess and they recognize her and they're like, oh, hey, it's you. It's you. I don't know. I just thought it ended really well.
Yeah. And then she sits down with one of them, you know.
Yeah.
One guy offers and she sits down and yep.
What did you think of the ending?
I thought it was very good. Like I said, this show has never really like excited me to the point where I'm like, oh my God, I can't wait for the next episode. It's been compelling. It's been a good dramatic narrative. I have enjoyed it. This last episode though, definitely was my favorite. Mm-hmm. It had the, you know, that hero moment when the team assembles. And,
yes.
So I liked that. I liked watching her, you know, rise above the pills and stuff like that. Yeah, I really did enjoy it.
Yeah. If they made a second season, I would watch it.
They will not.
You don't think so?
No. They even say right on Netflix, they say limited series. And I know that we've seen things before where they've gone ahead and done it, but.
Just with the popularity of it, it wouldn't surprise me if they tried to make a second series, but
yeah,
you know, it's kind of funny. Like it's on Rotten Tomatoes. It's got a 99% approval on 76 reviews. That's pretty substantial.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Oh, let's see. No, Unicorn wasn't on.
Correct.
That wasn't on. Okay. The only other shows that we had to watch, was Mandalorian and Alice in Borderland, right?
Nope. Episode 2 of Big Mouth. And we were also going to talk about We Are the Champions.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. All right. So We Are the Champions. There was two episodes to talk about. One was the chili eating contest.
Yeah, because we forgot that one last week.
Which I loved that episode.
Absolutely.
And the second one was about hair. Hair
fantasy
modeling.
Hair.
Fantasy hair, which I give no shits about.
I watched it all the way through.
I did too.
My one big note from the fantasy hair, and then we don't even have to talk about it if you don't want, is
sure.
That guy's a fucking cheater. Like, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. He was told that the competition was about New Orleans, and he wanted to do a fantasy hair that had a model with three heads. And he's like, we're only allowed one model on stage, so I'm going to put three girls up there, and the other two are just going to be accessories. There will only be one model, but then we'll have two other girls, but I'm going to consider those accessories. Well, fuck you. You're a cheater.
Yeah, that guy, I agree. That guy was a cheater.
Yeah.
The chili eating competition I thought was phenomenal.
Yes, and I would never do that. No, I don't see any pleasure in that whatsoever.
No, it doesn't look like fun at all. I unfortunately don't remember all the characters involved in the episode, but it was down south where this guy, like, his specialty is making hybrid chilies of the strongest chilies in the world.
Well, he's the guy who created the Carolina Reaper, which is the basis for all hot sauces.
Yeah, and he's now made chilies that are hotter than the Carolina Reaper.
Oh, by several magnitudes.
And they're usually and when he is in this chili eating competition they had, which was from people around the world, the Carolina Reaper was like stage 4 of 10 or whatever it was, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, that was just crazy. And you had these people, I don't know, like the woman who used to be the addict, apparently, who her and her husband make do like a podcast or a YouTube show about it. And she was like one of the last, she was the runner up, if you will. I was kind of rooting for her.
Yeah. Well, especially that other guy, the one that was the winner. He was a ringer. Like, I think he has that rare disease, that disorder where he can't feel pain because he was just pounding those things and not even blinking.
Yeah, it definitely did not affect him whatsoever.
I definitely think if anybody's interested in hot peppers or a competition like this, they should watch it. It's only like a half an hour. Just kind of building on what you were talking about, they tell you right in the very beginning that they tell you what a Scoville unit is, how they measure the heat intensity of hot foods. And a jalapeno is about 5,000 Scoville units. The Carolina Reaper is 2 million. So it is a huge, huge leap. And then as they were going through, they were showing like this new hybrid and how many Scoville units. And it was just gross. Like, some of these were so bad, and I really felt bad for the one from England because of her teeth.
Oh, her teeth were so bad, so she couldn't eat fast. Yeah, I did too. Yeah. Oh, man.
But yeah, definitely check this out. We Are the Champions is good anyway. I'm enjoying it, except for the Fantasy Hair one. Actually, I don't think that I'm going to like most of the rest of the ones that are coming up.
What are the rest of the ones?
Hold on, I'm going to look at it.
Because I don't recall off the top of my head the rest of them.
I'm typing it in. I just remember that. Let's see. Episode guide. So we had cheese rolling, chili eating, and fantasy hairstyling. Next one. Well, next one's yo-yo. That could be fun.
Yep.
Dog dancing. And frog jumping.
Okay, that might be good.
Calaveras County Frog Jumping Jubilee, a competition steeped in a rich history and family tradition.
That could be good.
Just so you know, the ratings on this. So, cheese rolling got an 8.2. This is on IMDb. Chili eating, 7.5. Fantasy hairstyling, 5.
Yeah.
Yo-yo is 6.5. Dog dancing is 6.3. And frog jumping is 6.1. So, frog jumping is the second worst on the list.
Okay. All right. Well, at least we know it can't get worse. According to those numbers.
Right.
Big Mouth. Sticking with Netflix. Two. The hugest period ever. Wow.
Dude. They really
went. Dude.
This was, I'm not afraid to admit, this was a little disturbing. I have no problem like buying feminine hygiene products. I will talk to a girlfriend about her period, stuff like that. Certain other things that we don't need to get into on a family podcast, but this was a bit much for me.
Yeah. I was very surprised when we saw the animated vagina with her clitoris covered in blood, coughing and spitting out blood,
including chunks. But
this is like a 12-year-old, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like I genuinely surprised they could get away with that.
Yeah, because correct me if I'm wrong, we haven't up to this point had penises talking. Like,
nope.
We've had talking girls that are getting screwed, but
yep.
But yeah, this was quite shocking. And I mean, they flashed to her a lot. Like, she really got a lot of screen time.
Well, the two big issues they dealt with in this was uncomfortable showering and a shared shower with boys.
Yeah.
And a girl getting her period at camp when she's not prepared for it. And the uncomfortableness all around of both of those topics.
Well, those two were handled. But then outside of camp, we also had Missy coming to grips with the fact that she's never been allowed to be black.
Oh, that's true. Yes. That's right.
You know, she goes, her and her mom and dad, her mom is white, her dad is black, but he's like a goofball, you know, doesn't seem to realize that he's being racially profiled at the airport because they always do that, like sliding him through the bag scanner and stuff. And he's just, oh, well, you know, they're just kind of goofball parents, Mr. Rogers style.
Yep.
And they get down south to visit his family, and her cousins are just like, yeah, you've never been black, essentially.
Yep.
I love the dig that they took at Toms of Maine.
Yes.
Her six, what was it, like 16 in one? It was like body wash and shampoo and everything else, toothpaste and deodorant. It's all one product.
But yeah, I was pretty surprised where they went. Next episode's called Poop Madness, so there you go.
I'm not saying that any of these physical processes really bother me, but
right.
They really, like, they doubled down on this episode, like having the talking vagina.
Yeah, that
with
was
blood on her lips, coughing it up, and, you know, talking to the Chad tampons, and like, it really, yeah, it was a lot. It was a little rough to watch. Not gonna lie.
It most certainly was.
But kudos to them for, you know, doing it. For actually saying, no, we're going to do something about a period, and we're going to go bigger than anybody else. Because this show usually does go bigger than anybody else on these type of things. And, I mean, they literally went bigger than anybody else when she tied like six maxi pads together and jumped into the lake. And, you know, it sucked up all the water in the lake and actually was sucking planes out of the sky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gravitational pull.
Yep.
So Alice in Borderland.
Yeah.
So this is a Netflix series.
Yeah.
It's a live action series based on a suspense manga comic.
Uh-huh.
I was doing some reading, and apparently it debuted December 10th in 190 countries worldwide simultaneously on Netflix.
Huh.
There's only 8 episodes.
Okay.
What did you think?
I enjoyed it, although I struggled a bit in the beginning because, as we've talked about on here, I usually keep subtitles on anyway. This was all in Japanese.
Yep.
If you switch to the English dubbed version,
yep.
The English dub does not match up with the subtitles.
I watched it in Japanese.
Yeah, so I switched back over and I watched it in Japanese with the subtitles, and I found that much more enjoyable. Mm-hmm. Although you have to focus because you have to read what's on the screen.
Yeah. It's about 45 minutes long is the first episode. We meet these three friends. I'm not even going to try their names, but we meet these friends who are...
losers. Let's just say
basically, they're losers. One's a gamer who stays home all the time. The other one, his mom is constantly asking him for money so she can. What the hell is she doing?
I don't know.
She's gambling it away or giving it away or pissing it away or something, but some worthwhile cause in her mind.
Yep.
And he's like, yeah, this is the last time, mom. And then the other guy. He seems to hate his life.
Yeah, he pretty much we meet him as he's hitting on, and you assume banging, his boss's girlfriend.
Yes.
And loses his job that way for punching out his boss when confronted about it.
Yep. So they all meet up together. And all right, this is where it gets confusing. So you have, like in Good Will Hunting, where Ben Affleck's character is like, I hope every day I come to your house and you're not there. That's what I'm hoping for. You went away and you did something better with your life than hanging out with us. That friend that got fired at his job for having sex with his boss's daughter basically says the same thing to his other buddy who plays video games all the time.
Yeah.
Why do you hang out with us? You're smarter than us. You could do so much with your life if you apply yourself, basically. So he gives his buddy like a shoulder ride. And they twirl around, and apparently something he says then, or a wish he makes, or something, from what I've read, is what causes to happen next what happens next.
Oh, is that what it was? Because I did not get that impression at all.
Yeah, I don't. That's what I read. So I don't know if that's what it was. But all of a sudden, like they start getting chased by the police, and they run from the police. They hide out in a bathroom stall, a giant bathroom stall together. And then there's like some flashiness that goes on. And then basically everyone in the world disappears.
Except for the three of them that they can see.
Yeah. And so they walk out and the streets are deserted. The train station's deserted. The place was just mobbed with people. Now there's nobody around. They kind of hang out for several hours just sitting there. And then finally like a sign pops up on a building that says, go this way to the gaming area. So they follow the sign. They end up at this place where they each take a phone, and then two other girls show up eventually. And one of them seems to know, hey, we have to play this game if we're going to survive. And the game they play is they go into a room, and there's a door that says live and one says die, and they have to figure out which door to go through. And they have a time limit to do it, or else they're going to, you know, explode the room into flames.
Right. And the time limit goes down by 10 seconds in every room. So first it's a minute and 30 seconds, then it's a minute and 20, a minute and 10, 2 minutes. Like that. Sorry, yeah, 2 minutes.
Starts out at 2. And if you pick the wrong door, apparently a laser is going to come down and blast you through the top of the head and kill you.
Yep.
So eventually the smart gamer friend who we met first, he figures out that, because we see in his room that he's got geometry books and a lot of textbooks that lead us to believe that he's very smart, very intelligent, you know? Figures out how to the game and the layout of the building and the size of the rooms and the direction they need to take depending on which door. And he basically figures out how to get them out of the room. And they get out of the room. One girl dies, another guy's leg catches on fire. But they make it out. The three friends and this other girl that seems to know what's going on. They head out to like the back alley. And they get a 2 day pass to rest because they won.
Yeah.
And then you see this other guy walking up, and basically he's like, "They're never gonna let us leave. You have to keep playing the games in order to survive." And oh yeah, the difficulty level of this first game was a 3 of clubs.
Yeah. Which who knows what that even means? Like if it was a 3 on a scale of 1 to 10, that might mean something, but difficulty is 3 of clubs.
We don't know if it's a scale of 1 to 100.
Right.
We have no idea what the difficulty scale is. But basically, the guy says, I'm not playing your games anymore. I just need to end. And then a laser comes down. When his timer runs out, a laser pops out and blasts him in the head and kills him. And like we get a big pan back of this girl standing on top of a building looking down. And then we see laser after laser after laser shot coming down out of the sky into different parts of the city. And that's kind of the end of the episode.
Yep.
So in part of me is just like, I have no fucking clue what's going on.
Yes.
And then another part of me is like, I really enjoyed the hell out of this.
I did too. It was very tense. I haven't felt tense like that in a while, which was nice.
Yes.
I was a little suspicious about his ability to suss all that out in his head and be like, you know, oh, we got to go this way because the building is this size. And, you know, it was cool watching it.
Well, he remembered the map, the escape map by the elevator.
And he also remembered the length of the BMW that was outside and how it related to the size of the building and the size of the rooms.
Yeah. There was some Mary Sue action going on, absolutely. But I enjoyed it. I was sucked right in. The 45 minutes went by like that. I'm looking forward to watching the episode 2. Watch out. I may even watch after I'm recording tonight.
Yep. So, I'm excited.
Because, quite frankly, it's not like we have a whole lot to watch this week. And I worked, I taught class and worked in dispatch yesterday, taught class this morning, teaching class tomorrow, working in dispatch tomorrow night. So, quite frankly, really, Thursday is my first day to watch any shows this week. And don't really have a whole lot to watch anyway.
Yeah. I did watch one new show this week. I'm trying to go slow, though, because I don't want to have you playing catch up all the time. But I watched the first episode of 2 Weeks to Live on HBO Max.
Okay.
That's the one with Maisie Williams where.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. It's a very interesting concept. You kind of get the gist of it when you watch the trailer, but basically what you discover, it's a half an hour show. You discover that she is out in the world for the first time. Think Twins with Arnold Schwarzenegger and Danny DeVito. She's been raised in the wilderness by her mom. She's had 4 VHS tapes her entire life, Terminator 2, Shawshank Redemption, Braveheart, and I can't think of the other one right now, but those are the only movies she's ever seen. They're
not bad movies, that's for sure.
No, they're not. No, she had a good selection. They hunted for their meals, and her mom essentially gave her a lot of conspiracy theories and told her that the world is this, the world is that. So she's decided that she wants to go out into the world and explore. And she meets these two guys, and they kind of like, they're nice enough guys. They're not like scumbags, but they're kind of scummy, but they're like, come back to our place with us. And they take her back there and they play a game. If you had 2 weeks to live, what would you do? Then one of them doctors up a fake video really quickly, which is kind of stupid. I don't know how he did it, but he basically doctors up a fake video that says that a nuclear bomb has been launched and we've all got 2 weeks to live. And so now she's like, well, I had a whole list of things that I was going to do before I did this, but now I'm going to go kill this guy. And so now she's on her mission thinking that there's only 2 weeks left to live. And her mom has discovered that she's not there. So her mom is going to go looking for her. I think it's going to be good.
Nice. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah. When are you getting the HBO Max?
Next week.
Okay.
I'm going to have it for Christmas Day. So, yeah.
Awesome.
Next week, I'm going to get it so I can, I'm going to get to 6 months.
Nice.
And that way I'll have it for Christmas Day to watch Wonder Woman.
Nice.
Which I probably will watch Christmas night, quite frankly.
And then we'll have some other shows that we can talk about as you check them out.
Well, The Stand is supposed to debut in 2 days on CBS All Access.
Yes. And are they dropping all episodes at once or one a week?
I have no idea. I'll find out in 2 days.
Okay.
But I still need to watch the season of Discovery, which I don't know why I just haven't had the urge to start it, quite frankly. I don't know why.
Yeah, I got to watch that. I got to watch Lower Decks. I mean, we've got time now because nothing else is happening.
Yeah, true, But then I don't know if I'd be able to watch 10 movies in a week if I did that.
It's a rough trade-off.
Sorry, 8 movies. I watched 8 movies this week. The only other television program I have to discuss is Mandalorian.
I believe that is all I have. Although, the way that we've been going lately, like halfway through the week or whatever, one of us will say, we forgot to talk about blank.
Yeah, probably.
But who cares? Let's move on.
So movies. Did you watch any movies this week?
I watched 2 movies.
All right. I watched 3 new-to-me movies, and then the wife and I watched some movies together.
Okay.
I guess 4 new-to-me movies. I don't know. Okay, I watched Run. Because I know you watched that one, the one on Hulu.
And remember, I did not, like, when you sent me that note, I was like, I never told him to watch this movie.
Right. Yeah, I just
decided. I didn't want you blaming me for this one.
No, no, I just decided to watch it. Okay. It was, it's. I watched Run.
Yeah.
You can if you want.
Already did. Not going to do it again.
The wife and I watched some Christmas movies together. We watched Office Christmas Party.
Love that one.
Jason Bateman, TJ yes. Miller, Jennifer Aniston.
Yeah. Olivia Munn.
Yeah, Olivia Munn's in it. That's just fucked up. You know, good stuff. I enjoyed it.
Absolutely.
We watched Grumpy Old Men. She'd never seen it. Walter Matthau, Jack Lemmon came out in 93.
Oh, that's a brilliant movie.
Yeah, solid flick. We're going to watch Grumpier Old Men at some point as well. We watched Four Christmases, you know, Reese Witherspoon, what's his name? Can't think of his name. Vince Vaughn. You ever seen this one?
I'm aware of it. I've never watched it myself. It okay. came out right after my first big relationship ended. And oh, somebody yeah. who had watched it was like, you don't want to watch that right now. Trust me, you're better off not watching it. And I was like, okay.
Well, I don't know about that, but basically Vince Vaughn and Reese Witherspoon, they're a couple. They've been dating for like 3 years. They have no interest in getting married, no interest in wanting to have kids. They lie to their families and tell them that they're doing missionary work or something on Christmas instead of spending any time with any of them because they don't like their families. Their families is a reason why they don't want to get married and why they don't want to have kids. And they go to the airport to leave to go to Fiji where they're actually going. And it's San Francisco and it gets fogged in. Uh-huh. And like a live news reporter is doing a report at the airport and she gets them on camera to ask them about where they were going to visit. Were they going to see family for the holidays? How's it feel to get, you know, all the flights canceled because of the weather? And so Vince Vaughn is just like, and then of course their cell phones start ringing because their parents are like, what the fuck are you doing? Seeing how you can't go, you know, seeing how you're not going away to do your missionary work, come visit us. So now they have to go visit their families. And they have to go visit her mom and dad and his mom and dad, hence Four Christmases. And let's just say nothing goes well. Really.
It would probably be a pretty short movie if it did.
You know, comical misadventures, some hijinks, some hilarity. And I won't give everything away because you probably should watch it.
Okay.
But by the end, I will give away the ending, quote unquote, because frankly, it doesn't matter. It's been out long enough. I won't give away all the bits in between, but they do end up deciding maybe we do want to have kids.
Gross.
But, you know, maybe not for a long time. And then 1 year later, they're at the hospital and it's New Year's Day and they had the first baby of the new year. And it's the two of them, and they're holding their child, and they can't believe it. And the nurse is like, oh, do you want us to get your family? And he's like, no, that's okay. Oh, are they not here? Do you want us to call them for you? And Vince Vaughn's like, they'd probably be pretty surprised she was pregnant at all, much likely had a baby. So they didn't tell their families that she was even pregnant and that they were having a kid. And then the same news reporter pops in to, you know, congratulate the first baby born in that year at the hospital.
Huh.
The same one that popped him at the airport the year before. So there's some, you know, continuity going on. So, yeah, it's worth watching.
Okay.
We watched The Holiday. That's a 2006er with, I think maybe it's 2006, maybe even earlier than that. Jack Black, Cameron Diaz.
The swapping one.
Yeah, they swap houses.
Yep. Kate Winslet and
Ewan McGregor. Or yep. Not Ewan McGregor. Yeah.
Maybe yeah, Ewan McGregor.
Yeah. I had never seen it. Kate had seen it before. She had really enjoyed it. I thought it was a good movie.
Yeah. It's not bad.
It was weird not seeing Jack Black being Jack Black and being like a leading man type guy. But yeah, I thought it was good. What did you watch for movies?
Like I said, I only watched two. One of them was Ava. Just
I watched
testing.
Ava.
Okay. What do you think?
It's hopefully it will stop coming up telling me I should watch it now because I rated it.
Yeah. Yeah. I kept seeing it show up on my Netflix, like, hey, you should watch this. Hey, you should watch this. I even saw, like, there were deals. Amazon's renting it for 99 cents. I'm like, but I have it on Netflix for free.
Right.
So it was, like, really being shoved down my throat. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Well, I watched it.
She plays basically a hitman, if you will. You know, she's a hired assassin. And... I guess they decided they're going to retire her for whatever reason. And guess what doesn't work well for them?
Yeah.
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 I watched one on Netflix that came out in 2016 that keeps popping up, telling me I should watch it, Marauders.
That sounds familiar.
I don't know how I've never seen this movie before, and if I had heard of it, then whatever. But it stars, like, Christopher Maloney is the main character in the movie.
Okay.
But it also has Bruce Willis and Dave Bautista. And it came out in 2016, and it's about these guys doing a bank heist, and there's other stuff involved. It was really good.
Huh.
I really enjoyed it. If you haven't seen it, you should watch it.
I feel like I started watching it. I know, okay, when you said bank heist and Christopher Maloney, I know that I saw this.
Yeah, I mean, I don't ever remember watching it before. I started watching it, and I kind of got sucked into it. And
yeah, it's got Batista. It.
Yeah, that's why I said Dave Bautista.
Yeah, I'm just looking at the IMDb, so yeah, I do remember this one, definitely.
Yeah. It's worth checking out.
Yeah, yeah, it was fairly decent.
What was the other movie you watched?
I watched the Star Wars Holiday Special, the new one, the Lego Star Wars Holiday Special.
I watched that last week. What did you think?
I thought it was cute.
Yep.
I thought it was way too easily cleaned up.
Oh, but absolutely.
Then again, it's, you know, it's Lego. It's supposed to be goofy.
That's
the humor was fun.
Yep.
The Max Rebo thing, you know, I thought it was the Max Rebo 7. He's like, wah, wah, and they're like, oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
But yeah, basically, you know, it's a typical Lego Star Wars.
Yep.
Yeah.
The you get to see different. They go back through history and you see different masters and apprentices, and they even go into the future a little bit. Well, I guess it's still the past, but yeah, they see Kylo Ren, and I like when he, you know, some of the humor was good when he's like, "Boy, have I got a story for you," to the Emperor.
Yeah.
The moisture farmer version of Luke, who had no idea what Jedi or Sith were or anything like that, was, you know, constantly drinking blue milk.
Yep.
Yeah, it was enjoyable.
Yeah, I thought it was enjoyable as well. I don't think I'd run out and watch it again or even next year. It's not like I'm going to put it on my list of things to watch every year, quite frankly, but
yeah, I mean, it was a Christmas special, but yeah, it definitely didn't grab me like, oh boy, this is going to be a new thing that I always watch.
Yeah, no, it's like I said, it's not something I'm going to add to the list. I watched The Happiest Season.
Oh, I'm going to hopefully watch this tomorrow night.
All right. Well, I'll hold off on talking about it then.
Okay. Yeah, I that's something that I want to check out with a girlfriend, and I'm hoping that we can do like a watch party or something like that. And
yeah. I'm not gonna lie, it pissed me off.
Okay.
At times.
The trailer looked like it could be a bit of a pisser.
Well, it redeems itself by the end, but I got kind of annoyed earlier on.
Okay.
You'll see.
Yeah,
I'm looking forward to seeing what you have to say about it. What? You got any? All right, how about this? When it comes to trailers, let's not talk about any of the Disney trailers that came out. We'll talk about that when we talk about all that Disney news we got going on.
Sure.
Do you have any non-Disney related trailers to discuss?
Yes, quite a few, actually.
All right.
There was the one that I sent you right in the beginning, Sweet Home.
Yes.
It's a foreign one. It looks interesting. I don't know. Basically, humans are turning into like rage zombie demon things, and it takes place inside of a building, and they're all fighting each other.
It's a South Korean.
Yeah, but one of the main characters seems to get infected, but he realizes he can control it. So he's saying, you know, it's not a disease, it's a curse. Sure. And so it looks like a manga. It probably is a manga at some point, but yeah, I think it looks cool.
It's based on a webtoon series.
Oh, okay.
So it's based on anime, basically. Well, yeah.
Yeah.
It's South Korean. It comes out December 18th. There's 10 episodes, and they're all dropping at the same time.
Nice.
Yep.
I sent you the teaser, which was very much a teaser for Clarice.
The Silence of the Lambs series, if you will.
Yep.
That's going to be CBS.
Yep.
It doesn't really tell you anything. Yeah, it doesn't really tell you anything. They're basically relying on you to know the canon of the show, or know what Silence of the Lamb was and who the characters are.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Outside the Wire, I sent you, which is Anthony Mackie. Looks like he's some kind of android robot thing.
Yeah, it looks like a great action flick.
Exactly. It looks like a very strong action beat 'em up, shoot 'em up type.
Yep. I'm looking forward to that. That's a Netflix film coming out in January.
Yep. And then I've got three other trailers. All of these I am very excited for.
All right.
Season 3 of Cobra Kai.
That trailer was so god awful. Not god awful, goddamn good.
It was. It just like we predicted. It looks like Johnny and Daniel are going to have to team up. And we got, spoiler alert, everybody, but we got previews of Chosen, and I can't remember her name, but his girlfriend from Karate Kid Part 2, and Chosen, who was his rival. And I got to tell you this, too. Right after that trailer dropped, shortly thereafter, was the Game Awards. And I was watching that just to see the new trailers, kind of like how some people watch the Super Bowl just for the commercials.
Yep.
But what the fighting game of the year award, they actually had those two, Ralph Macchio and Chosen, giving the award. It was awesome.
Awesome.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to that. The next one is so fucking bizarre, I cannot wait to see it. And that is, Netflix has a series coming out called Nicolas Cage's History of Swear Words.
Dude, it looks great.
It
really does. Awesome. And I'm pretty excited to watch this show.
Yes. The trailer is just him talking about pussy. And very calmly and eloquently, but it's Nicolas Cage. So you know he's going to go crazy at some point.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's no denying that. So I'm pretty excited about that. It looks interesting. It looks very entertaining.
Yep. And then the last one, and again, there are other ones that came out for Disney, but the last one is Resident Alien.
And that just looks damn good.
It's a sci-fi series. Alan Tudyk gets to play the lead role, which, good for him. It's about fucking time. Something other than Con Man. And he's basically an alien who disguised himself as a human, and he's in a small town, and he claims to be a doctor, so they give him doctorly things like autopsies and such to try to solve the murders that are going on in town.
Yep.
Looks phenomenal. Can't wait.
It does. It looks great. I love Alan Tudyk. It's a Sci-Fi Channel series, correct?
Correct.
Yeah.
Which they've been doing better.
Huh?
They've been doing better, you know, sci-fi.
I'm not complaining. They had Blood Drive.
Yep. And I love The Magician.
Yep. No, I'm excited to see Alan Tudyk in something new.
Excellent. Yep. Me too.
So, I sent you a trailer for a movie called the Mauritanian.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm going to be able to pronounce
it. Yeah, it was a weird.
Yeah. It's based on actual events. It's apparently a British American film. Stars Jodie Foster and Benedict Cumberbatch is in it, and Zachary Levi's in it. And it's about it's about things going on at Guantanamo Bay detention camp. holding people without charges or trials, and it's like a Few Good Men.
Yeah.
It's a military based trial show, if you will. Except Jodie Foster, who plays the attorney, is not in the military herself.
Right.
Yeah. This was supposed to come out in July, but COVID, it got pushed back. And now it looks like it's coming out February 2021. I'd say go watch the trailer. I mean, it looks decent.
My comment to you was, that's heavy, because it's a very heavy trailer.
Big time heavy trailer. Yes.
I forgot about one trailer as I was scrolling back up through to see the one that you had sent me. I forgot that I had sent you another one. I forgot to write it down. BBC America has a series coming on called The Watch.
Oh my God, this looks phenomenal.
Now, see, I think it looks phenomenal. You think it looks phenomenal. Apparently, a lot of nerds on the internet are very pissed off because it's based on Terry Pratchett's Discworld series of books. And apparently the characters in this are not ugly enough. They're supposed to be very ugly and misshapen. And these people look too normal and nice. Get over it, nerds. I'm a nerd.
Yeah.
Get over it.
It just looks great.
It looks great. It looks like it's going to be a lot of fun. I can't wait to see it. You know, just enjoy it for what it is.
Are we on the news now?
I think we're on the news now.
Holy fuck.
Yeah, here we go. Dig in, everybody.
Yeah, we're going to geek out a little bit. So the first news I'm going to talk about is something that dropped today.
Okay.
The alleged, possible, rumored reboot of Firefly.
No.
Did you see this?
I did not.
Okay. Allegedly, because Disney, acquiring Fox, has acquired the rights to Firefly.
Uh-huh.
So there's some alleged rumor of Disney Plus doing a reboot of Firefly. And unless it stars the original cast, I'm not going to say I have no interest, but I don't want to see it. Of course I'm going to watch it.
Right.
At least one episode, if it happens.
Well, imagine if it took place in the same universe, but it was a different crew.
Okay, that I could deal with. But if they're saying that this is our crew that of the characters that we fell in love with 20 years ago when it came out, and we got the movie from, and I've been following the comic books ever since and enjoying the comic book story so I can still see my characters, then no. If they're going to say this is a different group of people in the same world, same timeline, same universe, okay, I'll watch it.
Yep.
But I don't know. They redid Star Wars in movies. I enjoyed the hell out of those movies. I feel like I'm just too emotionally attached to these characters.
Yeah.
You know? Like, when Rob Zombie did his Halloween, his first Halloween movie I loved. His second Halloween was just a steaming pile of garbage, which is I was afraid his first Halloween was going to be.
Uh-huh.
And that's how I feel about this.
Yeah, the second movie, he insisted on putting his wife and a horse in it.
Yeah. His wife that committed suicide in the first movie. So.
Yeah.
Anyhow. All right, so Disney announced
everything.
Like 10 Star Wars series, 10 Marvel series, 15 Disney live action animation and Pixar series. I mean, so much stuff. They also announced a bunch of stuff for Hulu. They announced some stuff for FX. They did announce that they're going up in price starting March 26, going up $1 for the monthly Disney Plus from $6.99 to $7.99, and the bundle with Hulu Plus and ESPN Plus going from $12.99 to $13.99.
Glad I'm locked in.
So, yeah, we're locked in. Although, if you really think about it, the first year, we got everything from the previous catalog. We got the first season of The Mandalorian, but because of COVID, we haven't really gotten a whole lot more.
No.
You know what I mean? So.
No, we have not.
Okay, so I have mine broken down from the email that Disney Plus sent me that listed everything out.
Okay.
So So, like, I have, like, a Disney section, a Hulu section, an FX section, a Star Wars section. I don't know how yours are organized.
I started doing links to stuff, and then I was like, well, I think basically just start running with it, and then we'll add things that we forget.
Okay. All right. So, so for Disney stuff. They're doing the Beauty and the Beast live action, apparently, as yeah. I believe, with Josh Gad and Luke Evans.
Yeah.
They already did a Beauty and the Beast live action, did they not?
Yeah.
Okay, that's what I thought. This is going to be a TV series, though.
Right.
They're going to be doing a Swiss Family Robinson TV series. Disney Plus. Okay.
Which, you know, back in the day was kind of cool because you could imagine people being, you know, stranded and not having luxuries and such because we didn't have the internet.
Yeah.
Nowadays, it's going to be a much harder sell.
I believe that. Percy Jackson and the Olympian series.
That I can get behind.
Yep. That could be solid.
Yep.
The Mighty Ducks Game Changers with Emilio Estevez returning as his character from the movies, and Lauren Graham joining the cast as whoever she's going to be. That could be an interesting TV series.
It could be, yes. Have the sports aspect of it. Yeah. And yeah.
Turner and Hooch TV series with Peck. Yep. Playing, I'm guessing, Turner, not Hooch. that's how I'm getting these out of the way first. A new high school basketball series called Big Shot that's starring John Stamos and Yvette Nicole Brown.
Yeah.
I don't know anything more than that. And then The Mysterious Benedict Society with Tony Hale and Kristen Schaal. Apparently it's based on some books.
Okay.
So that's...
I like both of those guys. Yeah. Tony Hale and Kristen Schaal are awesome.
Yeah. So that's that. On Hulu... new series. This should be great. I don't know if you heard about this one, but Only Murders in the Building, starring Steve Martin and Martin Short.
Love it already.
Have you heard anything about that one?
I have not, but I already love it.
I've heard nothing further. It was just announced. The Dropout is based on actual events. Kate McKinnon's going to play Elizabeth Holmes, who is a very, I guess, a famous con artist.
Mm-hmm.
And then a new TV series that's based on actual events, or this might even be a movie. It's called Dope Sick, starring Michael Keaton, Peter Sarsgaard, and Rosario Dawson.
I've heard that name many times before.
Yeah, I'm good. Michael Keaton, I'll watch the fuck out of it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then also coming to Hulu from FX, they're going to load a bunch of stuff up on Hulu, including something called The Old Man, a new American Horror Stories, a TV series called Platform, Reservation Dogs, and Why the Last Man.
Yep.
Plus, The Handmaid's Tale is getting a season 5.
Yeah.
And then a new, I don't know if this is a TV series or movie, but it's with Nicole Kidman. Yeah, I think it's a TV series with Nicole Kidman. It's being executive produced by David Kelly. It's going to be called 9 Perfect Strangers.
Okay.
And I believe it has to do with, I think it has to do with a jury.
Okay.
Yeah, it's going to be a mini series based on a novel. Yeah, it looks like it has to do with a jury of some kind. Okay, on FX, they've renewed It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia for 4 additional seasons.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you watch that on the regular?
I do not. I enjoy it, but I don't watch it on the regular.
Yeah. They're going to do a Shogun series on FX.
Yes, they are.
I can't find that because I think it'll be very adult orientated and I could get behind that.
Well, if you like adult series on Hulu, they just announced one this evening.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lily Allen and Sebastian Stan are going to be in an 8-episode series on Hulu. And they will be playing Pamela Anderson and Tommy Lee.
Holy fuck.
Like, why? Really? And it's going to cover the tumultuous time of their dating and the leak of their sex tape and
yep.
why.
care very little.
Yeah.
Care very, very little.
But I still haven't gotten to the FX on Hulu series that I'm waiting for.
Oh, getting there. Okay. They've ordered 2 seasons of a TV show called The Stones, about the Rolling Stones.
Yeah.
And then, go ahead, sir.
FX on Hulu is getting a new TV series from the creator of Fargo and Legion that is Alien. Not Aliens, Alien.
I'm pumped.
The original movie, it's based around that.
I think this is going to be phenomenal.
Yes, because we've seen the art direction in both Legion and Fargo. Even though you didn't like Legion, you can't deny it had fucking style.
Oh, absolutely. Agree. Same thing with me and Fargo. Yeah.
Like, I'm not a big Fargo fan, but holy shit, does it have some iconic looks to it. And yeah, I'm stoked for this.
Yeah, I'm very excited about it. Didn't we get a poster or something?
Yep.
That was all we got. I don't care. I can get behind this. I'm excited about this.
Yep. Sign me up now.
Yep. Yep. And especially with who's doing it, like you just said, the guy that's behind Fargo and Legion.
Yep.
Yep. I can get behind this. All the way.
All right. So what you got next?
I'm on the Lucasfilm stuff, Star Wars.
Okay.
Well, actually, they titled it as Lucasfilm because, all right, so they're doing a movie based on the book Children of Blood and Bone.
Mm-hmm.
They talked about the new Indiana Jones is coming out. I don't have a title other than Indiana Jones, but it's going to be directed by James Mangold. Have you heard about this one?
All I heard was that this will be Harrison Ford's last ride.
Yes, and it's the release date they have for it is July 29th, 2022.
Well, let's hope he makes it that far.
Yeah. I mean, that'll be 41 years after the release of Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Damn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So... Frank Marshall is set to produce the film, and he produced Raiders, but he also produced Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. So
yeah.
But apparently James Mangold is writing, directing, and writing and directing it. So
okay.
And then a new Star Wars film. That's going to be directed by Taika Waititi.
Yeah.
Whatever. Pump it directly into my veins.
Exactly. The man can do no wrong.
I'll watch the shit out of it.
Yep.
Period.
Yep.
Period. we didn't get any other information on it other than that.
Yeah. And that's really all we need.
Well, exactly. Yes. We did get a teaser, of sorts. I mean, it's basically Patty Jenkins talking about her dad growing up on probably an Air Force base and this and that. And then she pulls up her jumpsuit.
One of the coolest reveals I've ever seen.
Oh, it was an unbelievably awesome reveal. So it's not really a trailer, but yes, you're right.
Yeah, she basically is talking about how she always admired her dad and the fighter pilots, and she always wanted to do something like that, and now she's finally going to get a chance.
Yeah, and pulls up her orange jumpsuit and straps on her helmet, and we see a fucking, not a TIE fighter, come on, Mike.
X-Wing.
That she's walking up to on the runway, and it's going to be called Rogue Squadron, coming to us December 2023.
Uh-huh.
So,
Rogue Squadron is one of the most famous squadrons in the Star Wars universe. It's going to be fucking phenomenal. I cannot wait for this. It's like, now that we've seen The Mandalorian and we know what they're capable of, cannot wait for any of this stuff.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited because I'm pretty sure Rogue Squadron was part of the expanded universe that they said no longer existed. Well, uh-huh. not not the entire thing, but right. a good chunk of their story.
And that they keep adding stuff back in, like Tarkin and such.
Yeah.
And Boba Fett being alive. And
but they're not saying what we previously saw is now canon. What they're saying is, hey, we're bringing this into the canon.
Yes.
But maybe it's not everything you already saw type right. of thing.
Yep.
But, I mean, I'm excited about this. I'm wondering, are we going to see anyone from the previous movies?
Probably.
You know what I mean?
Yep, I would say so.
I think that would be pretty awesome if we did see anyone from some of the previous films. They're doing a Willow series for Disney Plus. Davis is returning. Willow. We kind of talked about that previously.
I was going to say, they talked about it for a while, and they've officially given it the green light.
Yeah, and that's some of the things I have notes about. It's stuff that's already been given the green light, but now they're kind of giving us more about it. Or it's no longer a rumor.
Right. They confirmed that Ahsoka Tano is getting her own series, live action, with yep. Rosario Dawson reprising the role.
Yep.
So that's good. This was an odd one. Hayden Christensen will be returning as Darth Vader in the Obi-Wan series.
Yeah, which is set 10 years after Revenge of the Sith.
Yeah.
So that's pretty fucking cool.
I think that that's really awesome because it's going to give us more of the time period in there, you know. So what, Luke and Leia are going to be like around 10 years old. And
yeah.
So we've got Obi-Wan's adventures as he's trying to make it through being an older man and hiding out. And meanwhile, we'll have Hayden tromping around in the Vader armor. Yeah. I can get behind it.
I can absolutely get behind this.
I don't like Hayden Christensen, but again, I like the fact that they're being consistent.
They announced Andor coming out in 2022. It's going to be 12 episodes. It's going to be set 5 years prior to Rogue One.
Yep.
And it follows Cassian Andor.
They better have K2SO.
Oh, probably. I hope so.
They better.
Stellan Skarsgård's going to be in it.
Yep.
Well, I don't know. I'm everything they're doing, I'm okay with.
Right.
You know, everything they're talking about, everything that they're announcing to us, everything they're saying, I'm okay with it.
Yep. Absolutely.
Star Wars Visions will be coming out in 2021. It's an anime anthology series of 10 short films by different creators set in the Star Wars universe.
Yep. That'll be awesome. If nothing else, that'll just be an enjoyable romp.
Yes. Probably kind of like what the What If series is going to be. We're getting a Star Wars series called The Acolyte. I don't know anything about this.
Can nope.
you share the light?
Okay. No, I don't think that they gave much of anything on it, did they?
Well, no, they haven't. They haven't really given us anything on it whatsoever.
This is what it says on Wikipedia. It's a television series currently being developed by Leslie Halen for Disney Plus. The Acolyte is a mystery thriller that will take the audience into a galaxy of shadowy secrets and emerging dark side powers in the final days of the High Republic era. So this is taking place back.
Yeah. Like,
back 100 years before the Battle of Yavin.
Okay. There we go.
Yeah.
They also announced Rangers of the New Republic, which is going to be set in the along the Mandalorian and the Ahsoka series.
And could be
John Favreau.
Yep, could be Carla. What's her name there?
Yeah,
heading that up.
Cara Dune.
Cara Dune. Yeah.
If you know.
Yeah.
That whole backstory.
Uh-huh.
But this is almost going to be like with the Ahsoka series and Rangers of the New Republic and Mandalorian. It's all developed by John Favreau and Filoni there. You know. We could see a big, like, crossover event, you know, with the three of them.
Oh, I'd love it.
Which would be awesome. They announced a Lando Calrissian series called Lando for Disney Plus as well, but they didn't announce that Billy Dee Williams or Donald Glover were going to be involved.
Right.
So that has me, I'm not going to say worried, but curious as to what exactly it is they're going to do.
I'd love to see both. I'd love to see Billy Dee Williams talking about his old days as a smuggler, etc., you know, recounting his tales, because he's got a voice for it. You know, imagine him sitting there being like, let me tell you a story, and then it switches over to Donald Glover. Fuck yeah.
The Bad Batch will be an animated series as a sequel to The Clone Wars.
Yep.
That's in 2021.
Yep.
And then a droid story. I got nothing on this one.
Me either.
Okay. Makes me feel better when I'm not the only one.
It's like Toy Story, but with droids.
Is there any other...
I've been looking through my notes, and I think you covered everything that I knew of.
Okay. All right. So movies coming to Disney Plus, they announced. Hocus Pocus 2, which we've heard rumored for years.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently that's coming. They're going to do a remake of Three Men and a Baby with Zac Efron.
Do
a remake of Cheaper by the Dozen with Gabrielle Union's going to be in it.
Okay.
And they're bringing back Sister Act. Starring yep. Whoopi Goldberg and produced by Tyler Perry.
Yep.
So, yeah, that's that. Some other series coming to Disney Plus. They're doing a, or maybe this is a movie actually. Yeah, it's a movie. They're doing a live action animation hybrid Chip and Dale.
Yeah.
And they've attached John Mulaney and Andy Samberg to it. I'm guessing their voices maybe, or maybe yes. They're going to be the live action part, but
I think they're going to be the voices of Chip and Dale. Now, when I first heard live action Chip and Dale, I'm like, eh. When yep. I saw those two names, I said, I'm sold. Like, for me personally, those two, I am sold automatically.
Here's a huge one. They're doing a Pinocchio live action starring Tom Hanks being directed by Robert Zemeckis.
Huh. Is Tom Hanks going to be Geppetto?
I don't know, but it's going to be the most fucking intense Pinocchio ever, I think.
Yep, I could see that.
You know, like, okay, Tom Hanks is going to be in Pinocchio and Robert Zemeckis is going to friggin' direct it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Oh, speaking of Tom Hanks, I meant to bring this up in the trailers. Did you see the trailer for the new Western that's coming out that he's starring in?
I did not.
Okay, I'll send it to you later. We'll talk about it next week.
Okay.
Okay, so they're doing a Peter Pan and Wendy movie. Jude Law is going to be Captain Hook in it.
Okay.
And Yara Shahidi is going to be Tinkerbell.
Okay.
And they're doing Disenchanted. It's the sequel to Enchanted, and Amy Adams is coming back as Giselle.
Nice.
That I'll watch that. Mind. I enjoyed the hell out of that.
Yeah.
Let's see here. Oh, and they're doing some animated versions of Diver Wimpy Kid, The Ice Age Adventures of Buck Wild, starring Simon Pegg.
Okay.
And Night at the Museum.
Okay.
And then they talked about some other Disney films they're doing. Jungle Cruise, Cruella, The Lion King prequel, and Little Mermaid.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
What you got?
For movies? You haven't done any of the Marvel stuff yet.
I have not touched any of the Marvel stuff yet.
Okay. Nope. I'll throw out a couple of things that have nothing to do with Disney, just to kind of mix things up a bit.
Please do.
There's rumors that they're rebooting True Blood.
Really?
And yeah, well, here's the thing. I saw this and I know that recently I heard, my girlfriend was talking to a couple other people and she was talking about how much she loved True Blood. So I sent her the link and she had the same response I did. I watched True Blood. It was okay. But the her response was the same as mine, which is no, because the person set to like be the one in charge of it is responsible for Riverdale.
Oh.
Yeah, so it would most likely turn into another one of those, you know, high drama, teen angst crap.
Oh.
Yeah, so I think I'm all set with that.
Yeah, same here.
I sent you this one. It's kind of fun. There was a Lost Muppet Christmas Carol song.
Yes.
It's being introduced again. It was taken out of the Muppet Christmas Carol, but as you said, it still appeared on the soundtrack, and they're adding it back into the movie. That's awful nice of them.
Actually, I like that. That's good stuff.
Yeah. Netflix has a couple new TV series coming out that I took notes on. One of them is a 3D animated Sonic the Hedgehog series. Now, the thing is, it's 3D animated, so I don't think it's going to have anything to do with the movies. And since it's 3D animated, I don't know how much I'm going to care about it. That's all they really told us. Apparently, an ad for it popped up on their Twitter feed or something, and they almost immediately took it back down like it wasn't supposed to go out yet. And they haven't given us any more info on it. So, So there's that. But they're also doing a meditation series from Headspace. Headspace is one of the big meditation apps out there on your phone. And starting January 1st, there's going to be a Netflix series that'll have guided meditations and teach you about meditation, I guess.
Okay.
Let's see. I'm skipping through Marvel. Okay. So I'm going to talk about this one because it's not Marvel.
Oh, talk about whatever you want, dude.
But the Spider-Verse is growing. I guess it is kind of Marvel, but I want to get to this because this was the number one of my thing. And this is one where it just kept adding and adding and adding. So they announced that Alfred Molina is coming back as Doc Ock.
Yes.
In the next Spider-Man movie. Just like they announced Jamie Foxx is coming back as Electro, but in a different outfit. And so now we have to wonder, is Alfred Molina's Doc Ock going to be in a different outfit? Shortly thereafter, they started saying that they reignited the rumors of Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield coming back as their respective Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm.
And then they even added in that Kirsten Dunst and Emma Stone might be coming back.
Yep.
And the one that seems to be confirmed is that Charlie Cox is coming back as Matt Murdock.
Yes.
But not necessarily as Daredevil, as Matt Murdock.
Yes.
So they still haven't told us what's going on, but it really looks like we're doing a Spider-Verse. And considering that it takes place right after Doctor Strange, the Multiverse of Madness, and that Wanda Maximoff is going to be involved, and they've now said that Doctor Strange will be appearing in the third Spider-Man. Yeah.
Yeah, I can get behind this, like, 1,000%. I want to see him do it. I would love to see them, you know, bring back everybody they can bring back, and just, I think it would be absolutely fantastic.
I do, too. It's one of the few properties that they have out there that this could work for. The other one that I could think of would be X-Men, if they could somehow do that, but... other than that,
well, I think most sure of the rest of my stuff with X-Men is eventually.
What's that?
I'm sure they'll do something with X-Men eventually.
Yeah.
I shared with you today, maybe yesterday, Bruce Campbell versus Frankenstein,
mm-hmm.
which is going to be a sequel of sorts to My Name Is Bruce.
Uh huh.
And Bruce Campbell has stated it's going to be the Expendables of horror movies.
I'm so down for that.
So I'm good. That's it. I don't want to see any more. Just release the movie. Make the movie. Whatever you need to do.
Who haven't followed, the Expendables has had three movies so far. And it was basically an excuse for Sylvester Stallone, Jason Statham to bring out of retirement all of the big action movie stars of the 80s, you know, the Schwarzeneggers, the Stallones, the friggin' Dolph Lundgren. I mean, they had everybody, and they just kept adding every movie, more and more of them.
Yeah, I mean, like, realistically, you had Sylvester Stallone, Arnold Schwarzenegger, Jason Statham, Randy Couture, Jet Li, Dolph Lundgren, Terry Crews, Charisma Carpenter, Bruce Willis, Mickey Rourke, Eric Roberts, Steve Austin, Chuck Norris, Liam Hemsworth, Jean-Claude Van Damme, Mel Gibson, Harrison Ford, Antonio Banderas, Wesley Snipes, Ronda Rousey, Tony Jaa. I say Tony Jaa, and you're like, what do you mean Tony Jaa? Oh, you haven't heard about the Expendables, A Christmas Story coming out next year? Yeah. Apparently next year, the Expendables, A Christmas Story was announced. It's supposed to be coming out December 2021 with Schwarzenegger, Stallone, and Jason Statham coming back. And apparently Tony Jaa's in it as well.
Huh.
And it's involving Statham's character, Lee Christmas. And then Expendables 4 is supposed to be coming out in 2022. And it's supposed to have Pierce Brosnan. Jack Nicholson's going to be in it. He's trying to apparently get Clint Eastwood to be in it.
Wow.
In some form, way, shape, or form. And, you know, I mean, if they can, they got to hurry that up because Clint's 90.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that'd be 94 at that point.
Yeah. So, anyhow, no, 2022. Expendables 4 in 2022. So it's only 2 years away.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But yeah, you're right. They brought out every big name 80s action type star. I thought it was so good.
So for Bruce Campbell to say this is going to be the Expendables of horror, you're thinking, you know, Jason Voorhees and Michael Myers and all the fun stuff.
Yeah.
Or it could go even older and do like, you know, the Wolfman and Creature from Black Lagoon.
Bring them all. Put them all in it.
Yep.
All right. A little bit more Pixar news. They got some movies coming out. The only one I'm really going to focus on, though, is coming to theaters in 2022, which is Lightyear, which is going to be a Buzz Lightyear.
Yeah, I don't know film. How I feel about this.
I don't know anything more about it than that.
Oh, okay. Let me fill you in a little bit.
Please do.
Chris Pine is going to be playing Lieutenant Buzz Lightyear.
Wait, is this fucking live action?
It looks to be a live action movie. And he's going to be playing Buzz Lightyear before he took on his first mission to infinity and beyond.
Huh.
Yeah. So that's why I said I don't really know how I feel about it. Yeah, it's supposed to be the origins of Buzz Lightyear, essentially. But, yeah. I'm sorry. It's Chris Evans, not Chris Pine. Chris Evans.
Doing the voice of Buzz Lightyear.
He'll voice the original Buzz Lightyear. Okay, so it is not live action.
Okay, first of all, Tim Allen's alive. So, yeah. I like Chris Evans.
Oh, no, here it goes. Evans explained the role in a tweet, writing, "Just to be clear, this isn't Buzz Lightyear the toy. This is the origin story of the human Buzz Lightyear that the toy is based on."
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, sure.
Yeah.
I'll just say, all right, sure. Marvel. Let's jump down to what was previously announced.
Okay.
Stuff we already know about.
Yep.
Black Widow.
Yep.
Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings, The Eternals, Doctor Strange, The Multiverse of Madness, Thor, Love and Thunder, Black Panther 2, Blade, Captain Marvel 2, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we already knew.
Yep. And they gave us a little news on a couple of them.
Yeah. Two new movies they announced. Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania.
Yep.
And Fantastic Four.
Yes.
What did they give us additional with the other stuff that was announced in the new movies, John?
So you mean like?
You said they added.
Yeah.
They
so like
more.
They announced that Rachel McAdams is actually now coming back to be in Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness.
Oh, okay.
Originally, they had said she was out. Now she's coming back.
Okay.
They also said that the character of Black Panther will not be recast. So they're not going to put another actor in there and say that that is T'Challa. Chadwick Boseman is, was, and always will be the Black Panther, and that is it. So they haven't said what they're doing to work around that, but that's where it stands right now.
Okay.
And I think that was... Yeah, that was it for those.
So we also already knew about WandaVision.
Mm-hmm.
They gave us a new trailer that explained a bit more.
Which was a beautiful trailer.
It was beautiful. And also a release date, January 15th, 2021.
Yep. And they're going to do one episode a week.
Yep. Which I'm fine with. So we're a month away from WandaVision. I'm so freaking excited about that. They also gave us another trailer for The Falcon and the Winter Soldier. For Falcon and the Winter Soldier, sorry.
Yep.
And that's showing March 2021. So... that's exciting, too. What did you think of the little clip of Captain America running? Do you think it's going to be the new Captain America, Johnny Walker? Or do you think it's supposed to be old Cap? Or what's your thoughts on this?
I think that it's going to be the new Captain America.
Okay.
What do you think?
Yes, I think it's finally we're going to get the new Captain America. And whether this Captain America goes to the movies or not, or it's just going to be in the series, I don't know. I think it's a pretty huge thing, though, to unveil the new Captain America on a TV series.
Yeah, it absolutely is.
Yeah. Yeah, especially the way they last left Cap. And I thought I heard Chris Evans said he was going to come back and play him again.
Oh, really?
I thought I remember reading that at some point, but could be wrong. And then we did also get a trailer for Loki. Oh, my God. Doesn't this look amazing?
It looks phenomenal.
And I think my favorite part is Loki playing D.B. Cooper.
Yep.
Which, you know, him getting hit by the Rainbow Road, whatever you want to call it, I can't think of it, explains his disappearance after jumping out of the plane.
Uh-huh. Yeah, this... is going to be picking up where we saw Endgame, where we saw that version of Loki who grabbed the space cube in the kerfluffle and escaped with it.
Yes.
So
I love how they tie it in. I love it.
Yeah. This just looks like a shit ton of fun.
We also got another trailer for What If.
Okay. This is probably the thing that I'm most excited about.
Go for it.
Because I am all about the what ifs, the alternate realities, etc. And so this is going to be an animated series where they essentially show you alternate takes. Like one of the ones that they really featured prominently in the commercial was what if instead of Steve Rogers getting the super soldier serum, it was Peggy Carter.
I know.
And she became like Captain Britain. Oh, God, doesn't that look good?
Mm.
They showed another one, and I don't know if it was just supposed to be a random boy or if it was T'Challa, but basically somebody instead of Star-Lord, an African kid gets taken out by the Marauders and becomes Star-Lord.
Yep. It looked like T'Challa to me, quite frankly.
Yeah, I think it might have been. So, but basically the What If comics were always that kind of thing. Sometimes they were completely goofy. Like that's where we got Spider-Ham from, was from the What If universe.
We got Spider-Ham, yep.
But they love to pose questions like, you know, what if, say, Blade was a real vampire? Things like that. Or
one what of my if, favorite covers was What If Punisher Killed Spider-Man?
Yep. Some of the things that may not have been official What Ifs, but Spider-Gwen.
Yep.
What if Gwen Stacy was the one who was bitten by the spider instead of Peter Parker? So, yeah, I love these things. I'm so looking forward to this. I can't wait to see some of the ideas that they come up with. And the fact that it's animated means that they'll be able to churn out more of them without worrying as much about, like, actors and directors and such.
Yep.
Yep. Psyched.
They announced some... they announced a Moonlight series, which a Moon Knight series, which we kind of already heard scuttlebutt about, but I guess it's official. Did you get any more on that one?
No, I didn't really look at it because it was like basically what I saw in the headlines was that they had very little info on it. So I didn't want to sit there and read down through because those articles are always the same. They're like, you know, oh, well, we know that it's
this is what we know. Disney. Yeah, I hate that. I hate that shit, to be honest. Yeah.
Here's who Moon Knight was in the comics. Well, we don't care because it could be completely different in the TV series.
We got the additions of Mark Ruffalo and Tim Roth coming to the She-Hulk series, where Tim Roth is going to be playing the Abomination.
Yeah.
So that's pretty freaking huge news, quite frankly.
Huge because Abomination is huge?
Yeah.
But yeah, that's fucking amazing.
Mm-hmm. They announced a Ms. Marvel series.
So stoked for that.
Okay, never mind. I said, what do you think about that? But you're so stoked for that.
I am absolutely stoked. She is such a great character. And that ties into some of the other, well, one big rumor that they're talking about, which you'll probably get to this part coming right up here, but I might jump the gun. Essentially, we got some on-scene footage showing that in the Hawkeye series, yes, Hailee Steinfeld will be playing Kate Bishop, yep, who is his protege and a badass. So they're talking about between her and Kamala Khan, Ms. Marvel, yep, we could be looking at the formation of a young Avengers team,
which I'm happy with that.
Absolutely. Cause they also announced that there will be an Ironheart series.
Yes.
Which could also tie into the young Avengers, you know, Ironheart being the young woman who is the next Iron Man.
Well, speaking of Iron Man, we got announced Armor Wars with Don Cheadle returning as War Machine, a.k.a. James Rhodes.
Yep. And the premise, they said, is basically Iron Man's worst fear comes to life, that his technology gets into the wrong hands.
Yep. So. Okay. We got Secret Invasion with Sam L. and Ben Mendelsohn returning as Skrull Talos from Captain Marvel.
Uh-huh.
I think that's going to be fantastic, quite frankly.
That's going to be phenomenal because, yeah, they had that. That was another type of series that really messed with people's heads.
Well, I enjoyed Ben Mendelsohn as Skrull Talos in Captain Marvel.
Yep. And he even had that little bit of a cameo in Spider-Man 2.
Yes, that's right. That's principal. Right. And then I think one of the things I'm most excited about, actually, and I think this is going to be genius and hilarious and awesome and amazing and stupendous, is the Guardians of the Galaxy Holiday Special coming in 2022, written and directed by James Gunn.
Yep.
And that's going to be a Disney Plus.
Uh-huh.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Good stuff.
Did I miss anything? Did we cover all the bases?
Well, there's a couple other things. This one's kind of confusing, but Disney Plus is going to have another alternative thing called Star, but it only seems to be for outside of this country. They might be doing something in the United States down the road, but essentially it's going to be their place for adult type stuff. And I don't mean adult as in porno, but I mean like the grown up kind of stuff that they now own the rights to, but they wouldn't really put on Disney Plus. Right now we've kind of got Hulu for that, but outside of the country, they're going to have Star. And then they said they might be doing something similar in the United States.
Well, I also read another thing similar to that, where that mature content is going to be pushed out on Hulu, and that Disney Plus may absorb Hulu as another quote unquote channel. Like when you go to Disney Plus and they have, you know, Disney, Marvel, Star Wars, National Geographic, Hulu.
Yeah.
Would be there. So Hulu wouldn't be its own app. It'd be within the Disney Plus app.
Gotcha.
So I'd heard that as well. So I don't know if that's what's going to happen, but I did hear they're going to start to push that mature content out on Hulu that they've acquired.
Gotcha.
like Alien, Terminator, you know, all that stuff.
Right.
Deadpool will be there. So.
Yep. Disney Plus has announced that they will also be doing like Warner Brothers is going to do, and they'll do simultaneous releases in theater and on Disney Plus. However, they're going to do like they did with Mulan, and you're going to have to pay a premium fee for it.
Yep. Doesn't surprise me.
Nope.
I'll do like I did with Mulan and wait.
Yep.
Yep.
And then they just announced this today. The latest to join the fray is Marvel Studios Legends. The new series will showcase individual characters that fans have come to love over the years and revisit some of their most iconic moments, starting with Scarlet Witch and Vision, which makes sense since both heroes will be taking the lead in the highly anticipated WandaVision on January 15th. The first two episodes will debut on January 8th exclusively on Disney+. The official description says, as the Marvel Cinematic Universe continues to expand, Marvel Studios Legends celebrates and codifies what has come before. Revisit the epic heroes, villains, and moments from across the MCU in preparation for the highly anticipated stories still to come. Each dynamic segment feeds directly into the upcoming series premiering on Disney+, setting the stage for future events. Marvel Studios Legends weaves together the many threads that constitute the unparalleled Marvel Cinematic Universe.
So it's a documentary type series?
Yeah. Okay. It says as for the next episode, because the first two episodes, like they said, are going to be Wanda Maximoff and Vision. And it says for the next episodes, it's likely to surround either Black Widow or Falcon and the Winter Soldier. So those are projects most likely to release on the service or in theaters the next.
Nice.
Yeah. I can get behind that. Is that it for news?
I think it is. I mean, it was a lot of fucking news.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I'm just looking down through and make sure that. Yep. I think that's it.
All right, sir. Why don't you tell us all about the second to the last episode of The Mandalorian? Oh, my God. The last episode is this week. That's so sad.
So, The Mandalorian always has great episode titles.
Yep.
I've always enjoyed them. This one was called The Believer. Mm-hmm. However, to me, this episode will always be Brown Eyes.
Yep.
Because that's what he was called in this, and it's stuck. You know. Essentially. Yep. They go and they get Mayfield out of his prison duty. He's busting up old ships and old technology, you know, just scrapping. That's what his prison sentence is doing scrapper work. And the droid comes out and basically they relinquish him into Cara Dune's custody. And so we've got five now. We've got Mayfield, we've got Cara Dune, we've got Boba Fett, we've got Fennec, and we've got the Mandalorian. All headed. Essentially, what they do is they tell Mayfield that they need to know where this Imperial officer is. He used to be an Imperial, so give us your codes. And he's like, yeah, it doesn't work that way. I need to do this. I need to do this. You need to get me into an actual Imperial facility. And he points them to one on a remote planet. So they go down there. The hijinks ensue where they essentially have to get into a base, so they hijack a transport that is it's transporting very unstable, volatile, explosive material that the Empire uses for fuel and such. And it turns out that the locals, especially the pirate versions of the locals, have decided to take matters in their own hands because they don't like the Empire and they don't like that they've been destroying this planet and harvesting this stuff. So they have been ambushing the convoys and blowing them up. So, of course, every other convoy gets blown up except for the one that Mayfield and the Mandalorian are driving.
Damn right. Mandalorian's a badass.
Yeah. And he kicks a lot of ass. They're using thermal detonators to try to blow this stuff up.
Yep.
But yeah, he does kick a lot of ass on the transport. They almost blow up a couple of times. Mayfield tries to bond with him. He basically tells him to fuck off. The key for this one and the reason that Brown Eyes is so iconic is because this was the first time that we've ever seen him take off his helmet. And at first it's just a tease because essentially he doesn't want to go with Mayfield, and Mayfield's like, well, I can't go by myself, blah, blah, blah. So he agrees to go. And so what they do is when they knock out the two stormtroopers, he switches into their armor and gives his armor to Cara Dune and says, you know, hold on to this. So you're like, ooh, he took off his helmet to change into this one. And, when they get
his helmet off in season one.
Did he?
Yes. The very final episode is just him and IG-11. And the Mandalorian is injured. And IG-11 can make him take his helmet off so he can treat his injuries.
Mm-hmm.
Because IG-11 is not a person.
Right.
So he's not revealing himself to a person.
That's right. I had forgotten about that part of it.
It was very short. You saw his face for a very short time, and then the helmet was back on. His helmet was off for like 5 minutes.
Oh, at least.
Yeah.
At least.
Yeah.
So they run the gauntlet, and they beat off the pirates. It was really cool. Like when it looks like they're screwed, you know, the pirates are closing in on them and everything's bad. And then they get saved by gunfire, and I thought that it was Slave One. I thought that Boba was coming down to help.
I thought it was as well at first, yes.
Nope, it was the Imperial base that they got to, and the Imperials were like, yeah, we saved you. So it's like, oh, great, thanks. They get into the base, and Mayfield basically freaks out because Richard Brake is in there as Valen Hess, his old commanding officer. If I ever ran into Richard Brake myself, I would probably be freaked out as well because he's a scary looking guy.
He kind of is.
He could be death, you know? He just really, yeah. So essentially, he's like, I can't go in there. He'd recognize my face, I think. You know, I served under him, and he might recognize me, he might not, but I don't want to risk it. And so the Mandalorian's like, fuck it, I'll go do it. And he's like, no, they need to scan your face. So this is where he finally takes off his helmet. Now, the weird thing was,
I like how respectful that Miggs Mayfield was about, like, understanding, like, no, dude, you can't take your helmet off. I understand that, but I can't go in there either. You need to understand that. You know, like, I appreciated that. I appreciated the reverence, which they, you know, Miggs Mayfield understands why the Mandalorian can't remove his helmet.
Right. Yep. Absolutely. The thing that got me, though, is they had the stick, you know, the data stick that was supposed to go in there and get the coordinates from Moff Gideon's ship. This was the whole purpose, was to get it. And he's like, it scans your face. So when he stuck the stick in there and the system was going to shut down because it couldn't scan his face, like, why would that system scan his face and be like, oh, okay, that's fine?
I don't know. I don't know if they're just scanning a face to say, okay, that's who's accessing this information. Because it just
seemed odd.
Like they had to scan. It did. It made it seem like it's just an excuse to take his helmet off. It almost seemed like lazy writing because they didn't really explain it too well.
No. It has to scan your face. But why? It just has to see a face? Like, is that it? Because I don't know. So that was a sticking point for me. And if somebody out there can explain it, then please do.
I would love to hear an explanation as well, because honestly, to me, it just felt like it was an excuse as to why he has to take his helmet off.
Yeah.
I get in the bigger story of it all that the I guess his love for Grogu is so large that he's willing to take his helmet off to do what he needs to do to go rescue his little buddy.
Right.
You know?
Which is awesome.
Yeah. So I get maybe that's the point they were trying to make,
yep.
But then they're also not explaining, well, why do they have to scan his face? What is his scanning his face accomplish? Is his face on file?
Right.
Like, is there
and
something?
Why would he now have access to that terminal just because he scanned his face?
Is this a Shepherd Book type scenario of, obviously we realize he's a big shot or was a big shot, but we don't know what he did. But,
right.
You know, when the Alliance sees Shepard, they snap to, and you know what I mean? Like, so I don't know.
Yeah. But basically, he gets the data that he wants. And, of course, you know, as it's downloading, Valen Hess kind of, Trooper, Trooper, you will address your superior officer, and kind of runs him down. And Mayfield comes in to the rescue, basically. He's the slick talker. He's the, you know, because Mandalorian just kind of freezes there. He's like, deer in headlights. And Mayfield comes in. He's like, oh, he lost some of his hearing. He's a little hard of hearing. We just call him Brown Eyes. Ha, ha, ha.
Yeah.
And Valen's like, come over here and have a drink with me. And he basically...
Well, he was celebrating for them because they're the only ones that managed to get back with the...
Rhydonium.
With the Rhydonium and didn't get blown up. So he's going to celebrate with them.
And he's like, you know, let's toast to something. And essentially they have this very tense back and forth where he talks about the day that that Mayfield essentially deserted and talks about what a glorious day it was for the Empire. And Mayfield's like, yeah, we lost thousands of troopers. We lost an entire squadron. And he's like, yeah, but think about the greater good. And he's like, well, it wasn't good for them. And he's like, yeah, well, you got a problem. And Mayfield just finally up and shoots him.
Yep.
Like, he'd had enough, and he's like, fuck it, I want this guy dead. And then there's this pregnant pause where he kind of, like, looks at the Mandalorian, and the Mandalorian isn't like, you're an idiot, you shouldn't have done that. He's just like, yeah, okay, I get it. And we wait, and then we see that there's, like, one other trooper who kind of looks over like, what do I do? And then they're just like, no, let's just shoot everybody. So they start shooting everybody, and they escape out the window, and you've got – Kara and Fennec are providing sniper support on the ridge above.
So they can get to the roof for Slave One to come pick them up.
Yep. And, that was really cool to watch. Kara lets Mayfield go. I thought she was going to recruit him to be a ranger, but
I thought he was going to continue on their journey with them. I gotta say, his character, this episode, with what they did with this character, with his redemption, where you see why he activated, where, you know, it, just everything, it was honestly awesome. And you end up rooting for this guy who, when you previously saw him, you didn't give a shit if he lived or died type of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. He was just a prick. And now you're like, wow, I really like this guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I was hoping that Kara was going to recruit him and that he was going to be part of the Rangers of the New Republic. Maybe she still will, maybe when she puts them together, or maybe he'll come back in season three and have a bigger role. But yeah, I want to see more of Bill Burr as Mayfield. It's great. And then the last part that we get is that the Mandalorian sends Moff Gideon, getting all excited just thinking of it, basically sends him a hologram message and says, you have something that I want. He basically puts his words back on him. You know, he's like, you have something that I want. You have no idea how important it is to me, and I'm coming to take it back. Oh, no, he doesn't say it. He says him.
Yeah,
you have no idea how important he is to me, and I'm coming to take him back. Yeah, we got one episode left.
Yep. I'm excited.
I'm excited and sad.
Yeah. 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 Already ate up like fast 8 weeks, quite frankly.
Yeah.
Fast 8 weeks. A little too fast, quite frankly.
Dude, this year has been the fastest decade of my life. Like, this has been insane.
It is crazy to think, you know, back when this whole pandemic started, it was like, geez, how long are we going to be doing this? How long we're going to... Oh, Christmas is in 10 days? Cool.
Yeah. My sister was talking tonight, and she said that she listens to a bunch of different podcasts, and one of them she kind of stopped listening to for a while for whatever reason. It wasn't like she didn't like it. She just stopped listening to it, and so she's playing catch-up. And she said that the most recent episode that she was on, the lockdown had just started. So it was like mid-March. And she said that the people on the podcast were like, okay, so, you know, unfortunately, because of the way that things are going, we were supposed to do a live show coming up here. We had to cancel that. But don't worry. We've shifted that. We're now going to be doing it in mid-July. So all of your tickets will be good for mid-July. You could still get a refund if you want, but your ticket, all the information and everything is just going to be transferred directly over to the mid-July show. So you'll be able to do that. So don't worry. You'll see us then.
No, you won't.
No.
Yeah, it's like my AEW tickets for last April getting pushed to August and then now getting pushed to April again.
Yeah.
So I'm not even sure if this April that'll be happening.
I'm wondering about my Regal Crown premium membership thing there that I prepaid a year for.
Yeah.
You know, that they suspended when they closed their theaters, and then when they reopened, they reignited it, and now I think they've suspended it again, so... Yep. I'm not looking for a refund.
At the time when you paid for it, it was a great investment on something you knew you were going to use.
Yep.
We would have no way of knowing pandemic was going to change that. So.
Exactly.
Yep.
Yep.
Well, I think that covers all our bases, sir.
I think you are correct, sir.
Yeah, I think that covers all our bases. So, I'm on Twitter. I'm Superstar Mel.
I'm the Quantum Geek, G33K.
Thanks for listening.
Yeah, we'll talk to you later, hopefully with a little less news.
Yeah, well, only if Disney explodes again.
They can only do it so many times a year. Giggity.
That's true.
All right, later.